Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Friday to you. Well, we have got a powerful show for you today. At age 19, my guest today, he desperately needed a second chance. He nearly killed another man in a horrific boating accident on the Colorado River, and he writes, "My actions on the water that day physically destroyed somebody's body." After the accident, he said he built a cage of shame and guilt around his life and cut himself off from the possibility of accessing God's grace and love. Mike Foster joins me today to tell his story, to talk about his book, People of the Second Chance, A Guide to Bringing Life-Saving Love to the World. I love this book. I want you to know, and you know this if you listen often enough, I'm going through about 8 to 10 books a week, every single week. You know, that live show comes at you like a freight train, and I love it, but I see a lot of books, but this is one I want everybody to read. Again, the title is People of the Second Chance, and Mike Foster's my guest. We'll get him on in just a moment. Before we get to that conversation, I got a couple quick announcements for you. I'm so excited about our writers' conference. It's almost here, Saturday, July 15th. We've just got about 20 tickets left. 20 tickets, can you even believe it, to a sellout crowd? I pray that you'll join us. There's still time. I pray you'll get on our website and check it out, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Do join us. It's going to be an epic, amazing day. Also, this month's Ministry Spotlight partner is Reach Beyond. It's an amazing ministry that uses forms of media to reach the unreached all around the world. Reach Beyond is motivated to see the fulfillment of Jesus' command to make disciples by making him known in every nation, tribe, and tongue. You can learn more about Reach Beyond on our website at myfaithradio.com. Really excited about this. We are giving away a Bible every week for this month, and this month the Bible is the Financial Stewardship Bible. It was developed in collaboration with Howard Dayton from MoneyWise. This amazing Bible includes over 2,000 highlighted verses that teach on provision and finances and God's perspective on money. All you got to do is hop on our website, myfaithradio.com, sign up to win. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Mike Foster is the founder and chief chance officer at People of the Second Chance, an organization dedicated to helping people relaunch their lives with a sense of hope and purpose. As a spiritual entrepreneur, Foster has created movements, ministries, and organizations that have helped millions. Foster's Freeway curriculum has been used by more than 100,000 small groups. He regularly speaks at events around the country, such as Catalyst and Q. He lives with his family near San Diego, and we're so honored to have him with us today. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
It is so great to be with you today. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, I'm so looking forward to this conversation. And Mike, we love to start all conversations talking scripture. And I don't know if you either have a life verse or just one you've been pondering these days that you can share with us.
Yeah, no, that's great. One that has been coming to my mind often and I've been just really meditating on lately is the verse in Revelation 21:5. And really just a piece of that where it just says, "Behold, I am making all things new." And I think for me, that verse not only summarizes a lot about the work that I do with people and what I believe about what God does with our brokenness, but it's just a promise of like when our life just feels out of control or things feel really messy, or we look at certain chapters of our life that just feel embarrassing or we wish they never happened, just holding on to that faith that God is taking all that stuff and turning it into new things and beautiful things. And so that's just been always, it's just, especially in the last couple of months, just holding on to that Revelation 21:5, this, "Behold, I'm making all things new." What a great promise it is.
Wow, Mike, that's exactly why we asked the question, because I just know that I know that somebody heard this today saying, okay, that was the word I was looking for. And I got to tell you, for me, that felt like a cup of water. So thank you so much for sharing that. Let's, if we could, get a little backstory just on your growing up years, your faith journey.
Yeah, you know, I was born and raised into a Christian family. We went to church every Sunday, had a really kind of normal suburban upbringing. My parents took me to a vacation Bible school every summertime, and I remember making little crosses out of matches, and, and I don't know if they still do that, let kids make, you know, burn matches and then make crosses out of them. I don't know, but yeah, just in a sense had this really, you know, there's so many families, and especially today, that a lot of people grow up in broken families, dysfunctional families, families of divorce. And I really feel like I got really lucky and blessed by God to grow up, in the home that I did, have a mom and a dad who loved me, who loved each other, and, really modeled for me, what faith looked like. And, you know, but also gave me the freedom to sort of explore my own relationship with Jesus. And so, yeah, so I was baptized when I was 13 years old. I loved going on missions trips as a kid and serve in Mexico and build homes on the weekends for people who weren't living in poverty. So, yeah, just that was kind of my upbringing and the start of my life.
Wow. Blessed indeed. I'm really grateful. And I asked you before the show to give us some background so we knew, you know, understood who Mike Foster was on that day when you were 19 years old. So bring us to that day when really life changed significantly for you.
Yeah, so I was on a water ski trip with some friends from the church. Some families had we're out at the Colorado River, and we were water skiing, and I was behind the wheel of the boat and was pulling another skier on the Colorado River, and the skier motions that he wants to turn around and go the other direction. So I began to turn the boat into what I thought was clear water. And unfortunately, it wasn't clear water. There was actually another skier who had fallen from another boat, was just floating in the water. And because of the speed that I was going, because I saw him just too late in my turn, I was able to avoid hitting him. And I literally ran him over with this power boat. And, you know, Susie, those are moments where, you know, they're so traumatic and so life-changing. And I write about this in the book. I refer to them as toothpaste moments, where the toothpaste comes squirting out of the tube, and no matter how hard you try to get it back into the tube, it's not going back. There's no redo button. There's no erase button for these moments. He would be medevaced to an emergency room, be in ICU for weeks. Literally the propeller of the boat, and not to be too graphic, but the propeller of the boat ran up his arm and broke off in his head. I nearly killed him. He should have been dead. It's a miracle that he survived. He would suffer, you know, permanent disfigurement on his arm. He would have to learn go through a lot of therapy to learn some basic skills because of the impact and trauma to his head that happened. And, you know, just it's interesting. So you have this sort of normal life that's just sort of cruising along. And then at 19, you know, everything gets flipped upside down. And it's one of the things I write about in the book, and I think one of the things that we as people are always having to process is what happens when we hurt people? Mm-hmm. What happens when we're the perpetrator? What happens when we do something that we wish we could take back? And I think every one of us have those moments. Everyone has those chapters of our story where we're like, man, I just wish that would have gone differently. And I wish I could take that back. And that's where my message and my life and what I want to kind of infuse into people is to remind them that God's grace is real, that forgiveness is real, that we are not defined by our worst moments. We're defined by God's radical grace and love.
Wow, indeed, indeed. I can't even fathom. You're just this nice Christian kid out with friends. And, I mean, you know, it was an accident. That's how you define an accident. And yet in one split second, he's medevaced, lifted. how did you process and even metabolize your grief after the fact?
Yeah, it was such an interesting thing as I wrote about in the book, and just had to reflect kind of on moment by moment what that was like to sort of walk through that valley experience. And what I sort of recognized in that moment, and as I looked back on that season of my life, is that there's really no playbook for these kinds of things. That there isn't sort of a five-step process. We'll do this, and do this, and then you'll be able to overcome that or get through that or move on and be free. And, I would say this, that there was a lot of confusion about the accident. Like for me, I had lots of people telling me it's an accident, right? But I didn't believe that. I just felt like it was my fault. I did something wrong. I am to blame. And so these things get sort of twisted up in our mind and in our heart, and they really lead us into some really negative, destructive places, and some places that I believe that God never intends us to go when we fail and hurt people and mess up in life. That and so one of the things that I did in my life was that I wrote some new rules. I wrote some new condemnments for my life, where I just said, because of what I did on the water that day, that I would no longer enjoy the water. I would never go on the water. It would sort of be off limits now, because I just felt like I had my chance. I blew it. I thought in my head, like, this is a way that I could show respect for the man that I injured and sort of my penance in some ways for what I had done. I think sometimes what happens in our lives is we experience trauma or pain, or maybe go through a really painful divorce, and we begin to write new rules for our lives, rules that God never intended for us to live by. And so maybe we've been betrayed by somebody, and so we write a new rule that I'll never trust anyone. Or maybe we have gone through a really difficult split in a marriage, and it's incredibly painful, and now we believe this new rule that I'll never find love again, true love again. No one will ever love me or want to be with me. And those are just, to me, lies of the enemy, lies that really destroy the freedom in our life and really undermine the work of God and what he's trying to tell us, that we are his beloved, that he makes all things new, that he has a plan for our life, a purpose for our pain, and that he uses those valley experiences for his glory.
Wow. Talking to Mike Foster today, author of the book People of the Second Chance, A Guide to Bringing Life-Saving Love to the World, forward by Bob Goff. We've got four copies of this hardcover. Amazing book. I'm telling you, this would be like taking a dive into an amazing body of water, swimming around, soaking in the sunshine, and just trusting that God does make all things new. When we come back, we're going to talk more, Mike. I'd love for you to talk more about these inner vows that many people make, because you've worked with countless people who've done the same thing. Because of trauma or hurt or even their own mistakes, they make these inner agreements that put themselves into captivity. How do you undo that? How do you identify them? How do you get to a new place of freedom? Talking to Mike Foster. Email if you want in on the drawing for a copy of this great book, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember your mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. My new favorite song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to be talking to speaker and author Mike Foster, who's written, in my mind, an amazing, fantastic book. Title is People of the Second Chance, A Guide to Bringing Life-Saving Love to the World. And when Mike was only 19 years old, just Christian kid having a great time with some other families who are out on the water, he was pulling a skier on a ski boat, and he took a turn and didn't see another skier down in the water, ran over him, and which impacted, of course, the skier's life, really significant injuries. And Mike went into a place of deep despair and guilt and shame. And he now works with so many people about finding their second chance again, learning to accept and just swim in God's grace. And in fact, before we get to this whole idea of inner vows that you sort of touched on before the break, in the story, I hear you're sitting in this place of shame and grief, and you just, you know, as you say, almost put yourself in prison. The district attorney also pressed criminal charges. I mean, I can't even imagine, Mike, how that just added insult to injury for you. How did that play out, and how did you navigate that in your 19-year-old mind?
Yeah, it was really scary, I got to be honest. When anytime you stand before a judge and you have a prosecutor who, in many ways, just doing his job, because I was charged with reckless operations of a boating vehicle, even though it was an accident. The injuries and the damage was so significant that the district attorney prosecuted me, and the only way that I actually avoided some jail time as a 19-year-old was that I had a clean record and that there was no alcohol involved, and the judge suspended my sentence, and I served 3 years of probation. Had to go pay some penalties, and it was full throttle in terms of just the chaos that was going on in my life because of that split second on the river.
Nice.
And I do, you know, one of the things in terms of that, and I always, as I talk about the story, the power of community and people walking with me through that. So I had family rally around me. I had friends rally around me. I had the church rally around me. And I think I look back on that. So things were incredibly painful, but also, man, I was just so grateful that there's some people who helped me walk through that as a 19-year-old.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that, Mike. Can't be easy to revisit that and relive that. And so before the break, you were saying you'd impose some rules and kind of punitive damages on yourself, as like, for instance, I'm not going to go on the water since I almost took this guy's life on the water, even though it was an accident. I can't enjoy the water anymore. What other just inner vows or so did you make that really held you captive for a little while?
Yeah, I think, you know, I write about this in the book, just sort of these general beliefs, these commandments / condemnments that we make for our lives. And I think they range all the way from, you know, I don't deserve a second chance. Like and that's basically what I was saying to myself, is that I had my chance on the water and I blew it. And so there's no second chance there. I think a lot of times we believe when painful things happen in our lives that it will always be like this. That I will always feel this way. I will always, carry this weight and this shame and this heaviness with me. Again, I believe that's a lie. I don't think that is our future. I don't think that is the purpose of life. I don't think that's the invitation that God gives us. I think He wants us to feel joy and hope and freedom. I think in many ways I felt that my future and the things that I cared about and my dreams were now sort of taken away because I was now the guy who was, almost killed a man, who had to go before a judge, serving probation. I was now that guy. I was the boating accident guy. Hmm. And sort of the things that I wanted to create for my life, the dreams that I had, were no longer relevant because now it's just I'm this, and sort of this new shameful identity that we take on instead of saying, no, I'm more than this accident. I'm more than this painful valley experience. And I'm who God says I am, not who I say I am.
Amen. I'm who God says I am, not who I say I am. You're right. Grace gets censored when we write these devilish decrees for our lives. And I'm just praying that somebody listening today realizes if you've written a devilish decree, if you've made some kind of inner agreement about yourself because of whatever that's in direct disagreement with God's word, I pray you'd see this, that grace is getting censored and it's not God's will. We've got probably about 3.5 minutes to our hard break at the bottom of the hour. Mike, I'd love for you to talk about how and when God started to break through this season of great despair for you.
Yeah, so it's it took me a long time. I got to be honest with you. It took a long time to actually challenge some of those decrees and those condemnments that I had come to in terms of my life. And that's what I write about the book, write about in the book, is that there comes a point where you say to yourself, and just trusting God in that moment, saying, I don't have to live this way anymore. This sense of taking personal ownership and responsibility for whatever condition our life is in, whatever we've done in the past, and saying, I do not have to be defined by my guilt and my shame and my mess, that I can step into my second chance. And it literally is this decision that we make. Like, God can't make that decision for us. Our spouse can't make that decision for us. Our community can't make that decision for us. We have to make that decision. And so my hope with the book, and really the work that I do, is to empower people to say, I choose freedom. I choose a second chance life. I choose God's radical grace and love.
How did God do that for you? I mean, I'm trying to imagine, was it one of just those moments where truth got in and you start to feel the warmth kind of the sun shining again? You know what I'm saying? That's sort of a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead and say a word if you would.
Well, for me, it was a very simple, small decision, and it was to sign up for to learn how to sail a sailboat.
Wow.
And that is kind of a crazy little thing, but it's like that small decision, say, you know what? I am going to get back on the water. I'm not going to drive a powerboat, but I'm going to do a sailboat. And it's going to be a little different, but I am not going to keep myself from enjoying the water or being on the water anymore. And I signed up for a boating course over a weekend, paid like $300, learned how to sail, and I broke the lie in my life.
Hallelujah. That's fantastic. My husband's a sailing captain, and he loves it. And there's a great art to that whole thing, isn't there?
It certainly is. And that's the thing that I think a lot of us have to remember, is that it may look a little bit different than we thought it would look like before, but that's kind of God's creativity and whimsy and the mystery of the story that he's inviting us into. So I love sailing. It's one of the most fun, enjoyable things that I do in my life right now. And God's really broken that lie in my life. And I don't enjoy water skiing, by the way. I do not want to be around powerboats, but I am back on the water.
Mm. Well, wow. Talk about putting a flag in the ground. When my hubby came back home after getting certified as captain, he's like, hey, do you mind calling me captain from now on every day? And I'm like, maybe once a week. How about that? Anyway, talking to Mike Foster, author of the book People of the Second Chance, A Guide to Bringing Life-Saving Love to the World. You know what? God is the Redeemer and the Restorer, and he's got a new place of promise for you. If you need this book, email to get in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address, and we'll be back in a minute. Maybe you need to hear that today. The promise still stands. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Mike Foster, who helps people find their second chance. Maybe you feel defined by past mistakes, things you've done or things that have been done to you. Well, Mike writes this. He says, you're not made to live under the weight of religion or guilt or chronic not enoughness. You are made to enjoy the love of God. And I love this in your book. You say that as you work with people, you help them to live a second chance life. You help them wrestle through these two fundamental questions: who am I and why am I here? Say a word more about the questions and what the answers are as well.
Yeah, well, you know, through various different ways I do this. You know, I have two-day workshops through my small group curriculum, through my writing, I have online training. All of it is about helping people, first of all, know who they are. And I think we live in a world right now where there's just this ongoing perpetual identity crisis that we're struggling with, where we're sort of in this constant state of comparing our life to somebody else's life, sort of the sense of self-hatred and not enoughness, and the sense that I have to hustle for my worth and value. And anytime we get sort of caught up in that question, trying to matter in the world, trying to define ourselves in ways that God never asked us to define ourselves in this particular way, whether it's success or money or a particular job or, you know, a particular weight or body look, you know, whatever it might be, it's sort of helping people embrace the what I say is the only identity that makes sense, and that is the identity of the beloved. I talk about that pretty extensively in the book, about what it means to embrace that identity. And really at the core of that concept and idea is that every day that we wake up, we don't feel the sense of the weight of our past or our shame or guilt. We wake up in the morning, we say, I am loved by God. He loves me. He likes me. He enjoys me. That the fact that I am on planet Earth right now brings great pleasure and joy to God, that we're his sons and his daughters, that we are the princes and princesses of an almighty king. Like, that is who we are. And we start living from the sense of full of value, like overflowing value, inherent dignity, because God placed it there. Hmm. That just begins to change all the dynamics of our relationships with each other, our relationship with God, our relationship with our past, and our relationship with our future.
Boy, it's such a good word, Mike. And we cover this on the show every once in a while, but the idea of how often we hold ourselves in contempt, how often we berate ourselves. I mean, it's like all the enemy has to do is create a scenario to rob us blind, and then he can sit back because we take it from there. And we do so much damage to our soul as we berate ourselves. Maybe speak to that person today who, as I'm talking, they're saying, well, that is me. I hold myself in contempt for whatever reason. How do they break free from that, and so that they can start to see themselves through the eyes of the beloved?
Well, one of the things that I teach people in terms of this sense of feeling not valuable or personal contempt or self-hatred, one of the things that I invite people to do is to step out of your story for a moment. Step out of your head or your mind or your brain as best as you can, and just ask yourself some simple questions. Would you ever say to someone else the things that you say to yourself? Would you ever hold your son or daughter to a standard that you hold yourself to? And I think when we start saying, okay, what kind of standard am I using in my own life? What kind of things and words and condemnments am I putting over in my life? Now, nobody hears that, right? It's all in my head. It's all in my heart. It's sort of this quiet abuse that we put ourselves under. When we begin to actually say, you know, that's not okay for others, then in questioning, why is it okay for us to say that about ourselves? And so as best as we can, sort of stepping out of the story and to say, is it okay? Is that even true? A lot of times when we're struggling with shame and guilt, we race to the extremes, right? I'm never going to amount to anything. It will always be like that. You know, anytime we're using always, never, those are very good indicators that say we are not thinking correctly. We are not thinking as a rational person. And so what I'd say is just invite people to say, listen, our life, just embrace the fact that our life is both fragile and holy, and that we are both broken and beautiful, and that life is a mixture of dark and light. And that's actually the way God made it, because if we were perfect, there's no need for God, right? If we were perfect people, there'd be no need for forgiveness and the cross. But think about your day. What is the most beautiful time during the day? And what do we get our little iPhones and take pictures of? The sunset and the sunrise. And that is the coming together of the dark and light. And so your brokenness, and maybe some of the things that didn't go right in your life, or maybe the things that you've been critical about yourself towards, I'd say that is part of the work, God working in your life and saying, let me make that beautiful. Let me make that your sunset and your sunrise. Let me bring together your awesome traits, the things that you're incredible at, but also the things that maybe didn't go so right, and just bring that together. And in, to me, it's that in that middle place and sort of that messy middle that we find hope and we find Jesus and we find the sense of, yeah, so what? I've screwed up or messed up and I've made some mistakes, but I'm also deeply loved. And that to me is a free place. Hmm. And that's the way I live. I'm not perfect. I don't have this all figured out. I'm very aware of my weaknesses and my frailties and my struggles, but I also know that I am being made new, and that God is leading me on a journey. He's allowing me to share my not so perfect story to help others. And so that's that middle place, that messy place, that to say, like, don't go to the extremes. Don't say I'm a failure. Don't say God's done with me. I could never. That it will always be like this. Those sorts of statements are really just exactly the framework of the enemy. We're saying the framework of God says, step into freedom right now, bring it all to me, and let me do something with it.
Boy, that's so good. I'm going to repeat what you said a little bit earlier. Somebody needs to hear this today. Anytime we use always and never, it's evidence that we're not thinking clearly. So that maybe be step one for you. For those who tuned in after the break and didn't hear your backstory, just to give a little context, when Mike was 19 years old, he's with Christian friends. He's a Christian. They're not drinking. They weren't being reckless, but he was driving a boat, pulling a skier, took a turn and didn't see a skier down in the water and ran over him, and he suffered some life-altering injuries. And Mike went through time of despair, shame, and guilt, and how God rescued him from that place to show that he is the God of the second chance. So Mike's book is titled People of the Second Chance. So just to bring people up to speed who maybe just tuned in. So Mike, your experience as a 19-year-old, it's just downright traumatic. I want to know, did that experience make you more sensitive to other hardships in the years that would follow, or did it more provide a context that helped you see things in perspective? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. This is, again, one of the sort of foundational principles of my life and what I believe about what God's trying to do through our not-so-perfect moments is that really our setbacks are our superpowers. And what I mean by that is that when we go through pain and trauma, when our heart breaks, when our life breaks, when our family breaks, it is those moments that I really truly believe that it are inviting us into this next level of compassion, empathy, the sense of love, connection, community. Because again, our hearts are being opened. It is the cracked seed that is planted in the ground that gives birth to the flower. And so, it is these fire moments, these rock bottom moments that we're what I call we're earning a PhD in pain, right? Mm-hmm. And we can now take that PhD in pain and deploy it and use it and leverage it for the kingdom of God. And so that's again that sort of that choice that people make. We can say, I'm either defined by my worst moment and I step back, or I stand on the sidelines now for the rest of my life, or I say, you know what, gosh darn it, I'm going to take what I learned, and I'm going to take my brokenness, I'm going to take my heart that's been cracked open and hopefully is now more tender and empathetic and compassionate, and I'm going to step forward and say, how can I help somebody else in these moments? And I got to tell you, what's so wonderful about the boating story. Now, I would never want to replay that. I wish it never happened. Okay, let's be very clear on that. But I'm grateful for it because I now have a sense of integrity and authority to speak on what it means to be on the rock bottom, hit rock bottom. I now, when people bring their painful stories to me, when they talk about their accidents or their, I meet with so many people who have been in similar situations of running somebody over in a crosswalk, hitting somebody, killing somebody accidentally. And for me to sit there across the table from them and say these two beautiful, magical, sacred, holy words, the words me too, like that to me is where God just shows up big time. And so our setbacks are superpowers, and we're meant to take that brokenness and really use it for God's kingdom and to help others.
Well, Mike, I can't even thank you enough for the way you've stewarded your pain, because somebody is drinking this up today, and many are, but I'm just thinking somebody, you've just thrown them a lifeline. And when we come back, Mike says that second chancers must find the party. We must be the party. We must create opportunities to celebrate and become the proverbial hostess with the mostest. That's actually part of our healing. More with Mike Foster in a moment. Title of his book is People of the Second Chance. It's this hardcover book packed with wisdom and insight and encouragement. He writes like he speaks. So email me if you want in on the drawing. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. Back in a minute. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live with Promise, having a fantastic conversation with author-speaker Mike Foster, who's written the book, People of the Second Chance, A Guide to Bringing Life-Saving Love to the World. We've got four copies. I wish I could give everybody listening today a copy. It's one of those books you just got to read. But if you want a chance at the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And do remember your mailing address. So I got to read this quote again, that you said that second chancers must find the party. We must be the party. We must create opportunities to celebrate and become the proverbial hostess with the mostest. Love that. Say more.
Yeah, so it really is the sense of enjoying our second chance and enjoying the fact that we are experiencing this new freedom, this new strength and power that comes with our heart being broken. And so what we've been doing through our organization and just personally is we celebrate people. And I want people to know that they're loved. I want people to know that they're not alone. And so one of the things we've been doing is we've been literally throwing what we call prodigal parties. And we host them for mostly for inmates who are getting out of prison. And we just say, hey, listen, there's no agenda here. There's no lecture coming. It's just going to be, we want to have some chicken and some French fries and some soda pop and just some blow up some balloons and celebrate the beginning of your second chance. And there's so much power in that. We've been doing this for almost a year now, year plus, where for the very first time, somebody is hearing a message that they are valuable, that they are important, that they are not their label that society has stuck on them, that they are God's beloved too. And so using the story of the prodigal son is really our parallel, is just saying the father did not have to think about it, right? Well, son, now that you're back, let me think about whether you get a second chance. The father didn't give a lecture. There was just the response was, let's party, and which is so crazy and so radical.
It is
so counterculture. We're like, well, let's just do that. Let's just try that. And so, what's been so awesome is number one, seeing the results of that and seeing the power of that. We pray for that individual at the party. We do the Macarena and dance at the party. I don't know if the Baptists are okay with that, but we dance at the party.
So I gotta know. I'm sorry, Mike. How do you get these people together? I mean, how do they get the invites? How do you do that?
Yeah, so we work with local halfway houses in different cities, and we kind of identify some people who are really wanting to change, really wanting to get their lives back on track. And so we work pretty closely with that halfway house and the prisons, and we invite them. We don't force them. It's not a surprise party. It's a party that says, would you be okay with us just, inviting your family, friends, some of our friends, some people from the community, some people from the church? And to give you kind of a sense of this, and by the way, if you go to secondchance.org, there's some videos where you can see actually a prodigal party in action. But, we have up to 130, 150 people come out to these parties, and these inmates are completely completely blown away. And it's one inmate, one person that we're celebrating. It's not a bunch of them. It's one person. And they're like, all this is for me?
Seriously?
And it's like, yes, it's for you. And it's a moment they will never forget. It's a moment that the people who attend the party will never forget. And it's all bathed in love and second chances and just this sense of I always tell people who we have the party for, it's like, hey, listen, we're not saying that you're the prodigal. We're saying everybody in this room is a prodigal. And so you're the party. You're the reason why we're partying, and we're all the prodigals. And there's just such a sense of connecting into our own brokenness, but also seeing how our setbacks can really play out, and we can have this sense of community, the sense of celebration, and just thanking God that He rescues us in our lives and has made a way forward for us too. And so we just want to do that for others.
I love that. Well, in the book, you tell a great story about a woman named Elizabeth Henson who was cleaning out her closet one day and she found an old green coat. Tell us that story if you would.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite stories. It's a true story. Most people probably don't know this story, but it's in the historical record that Elizabeth Henson was cleaning out her closet. She's taking out this old green, smelly jacket, fuzzy jacket that had holes in it. And she's about to throw it away, and her son stops her and says, "Hey, Mom, can I have that jacket? You know, I want to use it." And Elizabeth Henson looks at her son and says, "Like, I don't know what you want this for, because this thing's horrible. It's gross. It needs to be thrown away. But okay, if you want it, you can have it." And so Elizabeth Henson's son takes the jacket into his little workshop, and he cuts out a little frog body out of the green fuzzy jacket, and he gets this ping pong ball, and he cuts the ping pong ball in half. And the sort of the surprise of the story is that Elizabeth Henson's son was named Jim. Hmm. And Jim Henson was making the very first Kermit the Frog out of that old green jacket. And I just think that's such a beautiful picture of what God does with our lives, with our mess and our pain and our brokenness, that He takes our smelly, yucky, hole-filled green jackets and He can make something really beautiful out of it.
Love that story. You said that's what happens when we put our throwaways in the hands of God. And that's the thing, Mike, is we have throwaways that we actually drag with us. So we don't want to forget about it, but we don't let ourselves forget about it. So we're never really fully free from them. But to give them to the Redeemer, what God can make of them is, it's nothing short of miraculous. And one of the things you say, though, is that people of the second chance actually become planners of the second chance. So this is not just a passivity thing. I mean, it requires some engagement on our part. So say more, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big believer in this, that this isn't just about me. My life is just not about me and my story and my brokenness and my freedom. It is about it's about me and God and us, right? And so the sense that I have a role to play in the world, and that I have got to challenge any thinking and any idea and any concept, that any virus that is in my mind right now that is saying that I am disqualified, or that God can't use me, or that my life, I'm just going to wait around for heaven and then, you know, we'll get on to living. It's like, no. God, throughout the Bible, right? God uses imperfect people in astounding ways. And it is our choice whether we want to be involved in that, or we want to just sit and say, you know, I'm going to listen to the enemy. I'm going to listen to my own lies. I'm going to listen to my past. I'm going to listen to my critics or my naysayers. Or I can say, hey, God uses imperfect people to do awesome things. God uses broken people to help other broken people. You know, God uses a guy who screwed up on a Colorado River driving a boat to now host prodigal parties for inmates. And that's an amazing, amazing life right there that we can step into. And God's saying, come on, let's try some stuff.
Boy, that's so good. And once again, He takes our throwaways, and it's like He builds a bridge to connect us with people we would otherwise never maybe even notice or consider, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It gives us a new sensitivity to, yeah. to the pain around us. And also it brings out a responsibility that we have too,
mm-hmm.
that we can't just say, this is about me. This is about me putting my green jacket into God's hands and letting him do something really powerful and beautiful with it.
I would imagine it just never gets old, Mike, where this is what you're doing, is helping people find their second chance. That's got to shoot adrenaline in your soul when you see just one person, the light goes on in their eyes and they realize, I'm taking the leap. I'm going to take a leap. I'm going to take a step of faith to believe God wants me at his party. Because that's what it takes, isn't it?
It really is. And I always tell people I got the best job in the world. I always like, seriously, I love what I get to do. And sometimes it takes literally a 10-minute conversation. Sometimes it takes a book. Sometimes it takes a season. But when I see people step forward into this new identity of living as the beloved, this new sense of I am a broken man or woman on a mission for God and that God can use me, when they sort of say, I'm not going to believe the lies anymore, I'm going to believe what God says about me, that is the most rewarding, beautiful picture. And I'm going to do this till the day I die, because it just brings so much joy to my life. And I'm so excited and thrilled to help people really experience everything that God wants for them.
Why, so beautiful. You know, we have such muscle memory. We so default to old tapes, and it takes, I think, practice to just even retrain our brains to think redemptive thoughts when we've been thinking destructive thoughts. And just want to read one last excerpt from the book before we pray, but just as a reminder of God's heart for us, and his hold on us is so much stronger than our hold on him. Mike writes this. He says, God's heart is far larger. His love is far stronger and than anything you can imagine. Our relationship with him is not a relationship between equals. He runs the show. He initiates. He works. He finishes. That's scary. God is one lover you cannot manipulate or woo. He's all one-sided. It's all grace, and he's all love. That's just beautiful. As we get ready to wrap here, I'm wondering if you'd pray for the person listening today, Mike, who's feeling like this is new information, and this means I may have a chance at life again. Would you pray for that person today?
Absolutely. God, I just want to lift up that person who's hearing my voice right now and maybe has heard this conversation that we've had, that they today would take the risk, take the chance to invite you into their life and to begin to challenge those beliefs, those destructive ideas, and that they today would begin to just grab hold of your radical grace, your radical freedom, and the story that you invite them into. And it's because of Jesus. It's because of his forgiveness. It's because of the fact that he does make all things new, God, that we can boldly say that we want to be used by you. And we love you. We thank you. Thank you for letting us be a part of your family. Mm. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
I like you, Mike Foster. Thank you for joining us today.
I like you, too. Thanks so much for having me. This has been a pure joy, and I love being able to talk about the book and what we're doing.
Fantastic. Title of Mike's book, again, is People of the Second Chance. And if you want to watch some prodigal parties, go to secondchance.org. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember God's love today. Think about his love today. He wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who will keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. For listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.